4. Kelsier, the survivor of death, finally crested one last hill and beheld an incredible sight spread before him. Land. It rose from the edge of the mists, an ominous, dark expanse. It felt less alive than the shifting white-gray mists beneath him, but oh, was it a welcome sight. He let out a long, relieved sigh. These last few weeks had been increasingly difficult. The thought of more running had started to nauseate him, and the loneliness had him seeing phantoms in the shifting mists, hearing voices in the lifeless nothing all around. He was a much different figure from the one who had left Luthadel. He planted his staff on the ground beside him. He'd recovered that from the body of a dead refugee in the real world and coaxed it to life, giving it a new home and a new master to serve. Same for the enveloping cloak he wore, frayed at the edges, almost like a mist cloak. The pack he carried was different. He'd taken that from an abandoned store. No master had ever carried it. It considered its purpose to sit on a shelf and be admired. So far, it had still made for a suitable companion. Kelsier settled down, putting aside his staff and digging into his pack. He counted off his balls of mist, which he kept wrapped up tight in the pack. None had vanished this time. That was good. When an object was recovered, or worse, destroyed, in the physical realm, its identity changed, and the spirit would return to the location of its body. Abandoned objects were best, ones that had been owned for a long while so they had a strong identity, but that currently had nobody in the physical realm to care for them. He pulled out the ball of mist that was his campfire and unfolded it, bathing in its warmth. It was starting to fray, the logs pocked with misty holes. He could only guess that he'd carried it too far from its origin and the distance was distressing it. He pulled out another ball of mist, which unfolded in his hand, becoming a leather waterskin. He took a long drink. It didn't do him any real good. The water vanished soon after being poured out, and he didn't seem to need to drink. He drank anyway. It felt good on his lips and throat, refreshing. It let him pretend to be alive. He huddled on that hillside overlooking the new frontier, sipping at phantom water beside the soul of a fire. His experience in the realm of gods, that moment between time, was a distant memory now. But, honestly, it felt distant from the second he'd fallen out of it. The brilliant connections and eternity-spanning revelations had immediately faded like mist before the morning sun. He'd needed to reach this place. Beyond that, he had no idea. There were people out there, but how did he find them? And what did he do when he located them? I need what they have, he thought, taking another pull on the waterskin. But they won't give it to me. He knew that for certain. But what was it they had? Knowledge? How could he con someone when he didn't even know if they'd speak his language? Fuzz, Kelsier said, just as a test. Preservation, you there? No reply. He sighed, packing away his waterskin. He glanced over his shoulder toward the direction he'd come from. Then he scrambled to his feet, ripping his knife from the sheath at his side and spinning about, putting the fire between him and what stood there. The figure wore robes and had bright, flame-red hair. He bore a welcoming smile, but Kelsier could see spines beneath the surface of his skin. Pricking spider legs, thousands of them, pushing against the skin and causing it to pucker outward in erratic motions. Ruin's puppet. The thing he'd seen the Force construct and dangle toward Vin. Hello, Kelsier, Ruin said through the figure's lips. My colleague is unavailable, but I will convey your requests if you wish it of me. Stay back, Kelsier said, flourishing the knife, reaching by instinct for metals he could no longer burn. Damn, he missed that. Oh, Kelsier, Ruin said. Stay back? I'm all around you. The air you pretend to breathe, the ground beneath your feet. I'm in that knife and in your very soul. How exactly am I to stay back? You can say what you wish, Kelsier said, but you don't own me. I am not yours.
Why do you resist so? Ruin asked, strolling around the fire.
Kelsier walked the other direction, keeping distance between himself and this creature. Oh, I don't know, Kelsier said. Perhaps because you're an evil force of destruction and pain? Ruin pulled up as if offended.
That was uncalled for.
He spread his hands.
Death is not evil, Kelsier. Death is necessary. Every clock must wind down, every day must end. Without me, there is no life, and never could have been. Life is change, and I represent that change.
And now you'll end it.
It was a gift I gave, Ruin said, stretching out his hand toward Kelsier. Life. Wondrous, beautiful life. The joy of the new child, the pride of a parent, the satisfaction of a job well done. These are from me. But it is done now, Kelsier. This planet is an elderly man, having lived his life in full, now wheezing his last breaths. It is not evil to give him the rest he demands. It's a mercy.
Kelsier looked at that hand, which undulated with the pinprick pressing of the spiders inside.
But who am I talking to? Ruin said with a sigh, pulling back his hand. A man who would not accept his own end, even though his soul longed for it. Even though his wife longed for him to join her in the beyond. No, Kelsier, I do not anticipate you will see the necessity of an ending. So continue to think me evil, if you must.
Would it hurt so much, Kelsier said, to give us a little more time? Ruin laughed.
Ever the thief, looking for what you can get away with. No. A reprieve has been granted time and time again. I assume you have no message for me to deliver, then?
Sure, Kelsier said. Tell Fuzz he's to take something long, hard, and sharp, then ram it up your backside for me.
As if he could harm even me. You realize that if he were in control, nobody would age, nobody would think or live. If he had his way, you'd all be frozen in time, unable to act, lest you harm one another.
So you're killing him?
As I said, Ruin replied with a grin. A mercy. For an old man, well past his prime. But if all you plan to do is insult me, I must be going. It's a shame you'll be off on that island when the end comes. I assume you'd like to greet the others when they die.
It can't be that close.
It is, fortunately. But even if you could have done something to help, you're useless out here. A shame.
Sure, Kelsier thought, and you came here to tell me that, rather than remaining quietly pleased that I was off being distracted by my quest. Kelsier recognized a hook when he saw one. Ruin wanted him to believe that the end was very near, that coming out here had been pointless, which meant it wasn't. Preservation said he couldn't leave to go where I'm going, Kelsier thought, and Ruin is similarly bound, at least until the world is destroyed. Maybe, for the first time in months, he'd be able to escape that squirming sky and the eyes of the destroyer. He saluted Ruin, tucked away his fire, then strode down the hill.
Running, Kelsier,
Ruin said, appearing on the hillside with hands clasped as Kelsier passed him.
You cannot flee your fate. You are tied to this world and to me.
Kelsier kept on walking, and Ruin appeared at the bottom of the hill in the same pose.
"Those fools in the fortress won't be able to help you," Ruin noted. "I think that once this world reaches its end, I will pay them a visit. They've existed far too long past what is right."
Kelsier stopped at the edge of the new land of dark stone, like the lake that had become an island. This one was even larger. The ocean had become a continent.
"I will kill Vin while you're gone," Ruin whispered. "I will kill them all. Think about that, Kelsier, on your journey. When you come back, if there's anything left, I might have need of you. Thank you for all you've done on my behalf."
Kelsier stepped out onto the ocean continent, leaving Ruin behind on the shore. Kelsier could almost see the spindly threads of power that animated this puppet, providing a voice to the terrible force. Damn. Its words were lies. He knew that.
They hurt, anyway.